Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Sam Greco. I'm introducing the show tonight, Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Our host tonight is going to be my lovely wife, Cabrini Greco. And just a few announcements before we start the interview. First of all, our intention is to support and showcase people living a spiritually purposed life. Our guests have been amazing so far, and we're eager to listen to our guest tonight, Rebecca Baines. We're also having a festival in Las Cruces, New Mexico, August 1st, called Bridging the Gap Spiritual Festival. And that is in Las Cruces, New Mexico, August 1st. Las Cruces Convention Center. You can also call in to listen to the show if you're not getting it that clear on your computer. And the phone number is area code 267-521-0151. You can call in and ask questions. There is a chat room also on our Blog Talk radio show page. Visit our website, alltruenatural.com, so you can get some information on Bridging the Gap Spiritual Festival, August 1st. We have an array of guests in that show, in that festival as well. Scientists, we have mediums, dancers, music. It's quite a beautiful event that's going to happen, first of its kind. And right now I'm going to pass the microphone to my lovely wife, Cabrini, and she will be introducing our guest this evening.
Well, thank you, Sam. That was a wonderful introduction. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our show. Tonight we are interviewing Rebecca Baines. Rebecca is a transformational facilitator. She works with energy in the theta brainwave state to shift subconscious beliefs. She discovered and developed her own technique through her own healing journey from severe trauma and is now living a triumphant life. It is Rebecca's joy to walk with her clients on their own journey of transformation, whether their goals be physical, emotional, or spiritual in nature. She has a degree in chemistry and has trained in theta healing and awakening dynamics, amongst other modalities as well. Rebecca is available for individual sessions via her phone or Skype and conducts live workshops as well as teleclasses. You can read more about Rebecca at her website at www.rebeccabaines.net. Okay, so let's welcome Rebecca. Hello, Rebecca. Welcome to our show.
I'm very excited to be here. There's even an edge of nervousness there, but it feels more like joy in my belly. I have been walking this journey several decades, healing myself. And I want to share that journey for a number of reasons. The number one reason being that I was asked to by my divine guidance team. And the second reason being that it will lay out for people the process of how I came to do what I do today and why that's important. So when I was
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No. Well, when I was growing up, I'm half Native American and half Irish Bohemian, and we grew up moving all around. My father was a United Methodist minister, and we were always told we were this perfect family, you know, four children, two boys, two girls, well-behaved, good in school, good grades, and I always wondered why I suffered from lifelong depression. It would come and go and come and go, and it was seemed like each time they were deeper and darker and harder to crawl out of. And these started when I was 13 years old. And at 11 years old, I can remember sitting down and saying to myself, and they called me Becky when I was a child. I said, Becky, you clearly have a problem with self-esteem. So what are you going to do about that? And I set out reading books on psychology and magazines and working on ways since 11 to heal myself, not really knowing at that time what was happening to me in, I call it my, you know, the underlife, the life I didn't consciously know was happening, because the trauma started so young and were so severe and went on for so long that I just learned to block it. So I had this whole other life that I didn't know about until I was 31. And at that point, I was had achieved my lifelong dream. I was in medical school my first year. It was tremendously joyful. I was loving the learning. And then here came the depression again. And I went, oh, my God, no, not now. And I plopped myself back into therapy to try to work on it. And right at that time, halfway through my first year of medical school, my father went to prison for the second time for molesting his stepdaughter. So this sent me into a severe depression, and I was suicidal. And I said, there's something wrong with this picture. You know, my dad ruined his life, and I want to kill myself. That's not right. That's something's missing here. And it wasn't long after that that I had my first memories of being sexually abused by my father. But one of those traumatic events, I remember saying, please don't let them hurt me. But it never occurred to me that that was a plural until much later when I kind of uncovered the rest of what my story was. So growing up, I also never understood why my mother didn't like me. That was my assessment. You know, I mean, she does love me in her own way. However, it was clear to everyone that she treated me differently than the other four children. And I always felt like I was struggling to earn her love, and I could never do anything right. And when I remembered this abuse, then that piece sort of fell into place too. So here I was in medical school, keeping this to myself, because I didn't know who to tell. I wasn't the kind of person that knew how to have close friends at that time. And so I was very isolated. And I can remember sitting in my apartment trying to study, and for a good 3 hours a day, I couldn't stop crying. And so I just had to study through the tears. And eventually, I just couldn't do it anymore, and I talked to the dean of the medical school, and he said that I could take a leave of absence, which I did, and it spiraled out of control very quickly, and I became very suicidal. I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, and I checked myself into a psychiatric hospital. And that was really I'll never forget that moment, like going to my room and looking out through the bars on the window and realizing I was locked up. And just a couple of months earlier, I was a medical student getting ready to become a doctor. It just felt like such a far way to fall down. But I was very determined to overcome it. But I wasn't always that determined. So at the beginning, when I started remembering the darker side, not just the sexual abuse, but what is called satanic ritual abuse, I looked at that and I thought, I think it will take me my entire life to recover from this. And I'm in so much misery now. So if it takes me 50 years, I'll be 81 years old before I can heal from this, and I'll probably have a good year or two of life, and then I'll croak. And I thought, well, that's not a very good deal. But then I had another thought, and I thought, but what if I can overcome this? And what if by doing that, I have the ability to help even one other person? Maybe sounds corny, but that's literally what I thought. And I thought, you know what? If it would help somebody else, I'll do it. I'll do it. And I can't tell you that that was the last time that I battled with suicidal tendencies, but it was the turning point for me in saying, I'm going to be committed to this healing, and I'm not going to let anything stop me. So in the ensuing years, I did every kind of healing modality I could find. I lived in a ghetto apartment so that I could afford all the different types of therapy that I needed to do just to keep body and soul together. It was an extremely stressful time, And very quickly, this emotional stress turned into physical illness. And I developed, as people who've been through a lot of trauma often do, that went through trauma in childhood, I developed chronic illness, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, arthritis, lupus, menopausal syndrome, hypothyroidism. Basically, my whole endocrine system and immune system crashed, and my immune system began tearing away at my eyeballs, my kidneys, my liver, my heart muscle, the pericardium. And I really believe that I probably was close to death a couple of times. But initially, the doctors could not find anything wrong. So I went to doctor after doctor, tried everything I could, every natural thing, and from acupuncture to who knows what, everything, and gradually began to get better physically. And, you know, of course, the emotional and the physical healing kind of was in tandem. And one of the things I did that I came across in trying to heal myself and become more free was to take some courses from Landmark Education. And one was called, the first one was called the Landmark Forum. Some people find that a controversial program, but I can say it really, truly changed my life for good. I took the course, and I felt like I was probably somebody who had done, it was so funny, I laugh at myself. I'm probably someone in this room of 100 people that's done more work on themselves than most people, you know, because it was like a full-time job for me for years. But, of course, you have to have beginner mind, and by the third day, I finally did, and I had my breakthrough. I can't really describe that other than to say it was a shift that happened and has been permanent ever since. And it allowed me, 30 days later, to suddenly be freed from the anger and the bitterness about my past, especially towards my father. Now, I had been working on that specifically. I need to find forgiveness for him because the bitterness and the rage were just, they were literally eating my body up. And I knew that, but I didn't know how to be free of it. You know, I did emotive work, you know, beating up pillows and all kinds of things. And I did spiritual work, and I did, you know, talk therapy and body work and energy work. And every now and then I would feel like, okay, I think I've forgiven him, you know. And, you know, then he'd send me a letter with an article about false memory syndrome and highlight the number and tell me I needed to call them. Meanwhile, he's in prison again for molesting his stepdaughter, and I would just go right back into rage. And it's like, okay, I guess I'm not there yet. But for some reason, 30 days after that Landmark Forum, I just came home one day and I realized it's gone. And it really was as if it was a gift to me from the Spirit that I had worked and worked and worked, and I continually set that intention. And I could never have understood what it was going to feel like to be free of a rage that had gripped me all my life. I mean, my sexual abuse started at 24 months old, and it was ongoing for, I don't actually even know, because I don't remember a lot of it. But when it was gone, I you know, people always talk about that weight being lifted off of you, and that's certainly true. But it was as if I turned around, and there was like a whiteboard, and I took an eraser, and I erased all these negative impacts of what had happened to me. And in forgiving him, I felt the greatest level of self-esteem that I had ever known. And my sister and I, we found out shortly thereafter that my father was terminally ill with cancer. So my sister and I and my cousin went over to Tucson and visited him in prison. I live in Albuquerque. And that was one of the hardest days of my life. He was emaciated, absolutely shriveled almost to nothing, just a barely able to walk bag of bones. And our intention was to go there and say our goodbyes, get our closure. But when it was over, my sister and I looked at each other and she said, I don't want to leave him here to die. No matter what he did, he's still our dad. And I said, I agree. And so we set out to get him out of prison and take care of him in a more humane way so that he could die not the way he was dying at that moment. And we did manage that, long story short. We got him out. And there's some very, very funny stories about that experience of getting him up to Alaska, where I flew up and my sister came down and picked him up. And it was just crazy because we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know what kind of shape he was in, and he couldn't walk. And we weren't trained caregivers, and we were just doing it on the fly. But I can tell you that taking care of my father, feeding him, even the first day bathing him before we got hospice set up, was the most unbelievable experience for me, because I felt like I was just allowing the love of God to come straight through me, because here I was caring for the man who had done all these things to me. Now, that's not humanly possible to do that, and so it was very much a divine gift for me and for him too. And I had already written to him when he was in prison and told him that I had forgiven him, even though he was still denying what he had done to me. And I finally realized after all those years of healing work that he was a sick man. He was diagnosed as a sociopath, and that there was no way he was ever going to have the wherewithal to acknowledge what he had done. So I gave up that, the need for that, which, believe me, that wasn't easy. Wasn't easy at all. But the second or third day we were up there, my dad and I were living in a trailer on my sister's property because she had an 11-year-old son, and as a convicted sex offender, he couldn't stay in her house. So he and I stayed in the trailer together, and I took care of him most of the time. My sister helped when she could. And we were sitting there, and he was getting very agitated. Now, he had a brain tumor, so he was not able to speak clearly at all. He could try to talk, and he knew what he wanted to say, but it would come out all scrambled. And he looked agitated, and we had the TV on, and he was trying to say something, so I just turned the TV off, and I plopped a cushion on the floor and sat on the floor in front of his recliner. I rested my hands on his knees, and I just listened. I thought, well, it'll be comforting to him to just have me at least try to hear what he's saying, because he looked so concerned. He was trying so hard. And then he just took a deep breath, and he was almost sweating. He was trying so hard. Took a deep breath. He closed his eyes, and he opened them again, and he looked straight into my eyes, and clear as a bell, he says, "Honey, for all the pain and trauma I've caused you, can you ever forgive me? Please forgive me. I'm begging you to forgive me." And I was in shock. I looked at him and I said, "Well, Dad, I did forgive you, and yes, I do forgive you." And he started crying, and he said, "Thank you, and I love you so much, and I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." Which, that was a miracle, because being the person that he was supposedly, according to diagnosis, I just think that was such a gift. And we held each other. I laid my head on his chest, and we just cried and cried together. And that brought me so much healing and peace, even though I didn't need his apology. It was amazingly healing for me that he was able to. And I know that most survivors don't have that gift, and it doesn't normally happen that way. Well, then the next day he was also, again, trying to speak. And so I sat down next to him and listened. And then he said, again, the only times he ever spoke clearly, he said, "You can help people who've been through what you've been through." I said, "I know, Dad." And he goes, "No, you need to help people who have been through what you've been through. You need to do that. You can do that." Now, I already knew that was my life's purpose. I had already figured that out, that I was to be a spokesperson for other people that have been both sexually abused but also ritually abused. But to sit there and hear that from the mouth of the man who exposed me to all of that was just, it was mind-blowing. I have no words for it, but it was amazing. And when I was taking care of him, it was a short while later, and my boyfriend at the time came up to help us take care of him. And he and my sister took my dad and gave me like the only alone time I had ever had. And I decided that, you know, things have gotten kind of messy. I think I'll start picking up. So I started cleaning house. And I have no words for this, and maybe, Cabrini, you would be able to explain this to people in some way. But I felt as if I began to move in slow motion, as if I sort of dropped into this other level of consciousness where I moved more slowly than ever before, but completely fluid, and I was more productive than I'd ever been. There were no thoughts in my mind whatsoever. A peace beyond words just descended on me. Every thought, worry, everything just melted away into nothingness, and I just was. I was. And this lasted for a few weeks, this feeling of there was nothing wrong in the world. Now, at the time, there was genocide going on in Africa. I mean, it was in the news, and it was just heartbreaking and horrifying. And from that state of consciousness, I could look at even that experience and just know that on a soul level, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. These people are doing what they're doing, but everybody's fine on a soul level. The people killing are fine. The people dying are fine. The people, everybody is fine. And there was, I don't know, there's this unshakable peace and patience. And my boyfriend said that it was like there was a light coming off of me. He couldn't stop staring at me. And it was the most beautiful experience. And believe me, I've been working to get myself back to that ever since. That was like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago or something. Every now and then I get glimpses, but it was such a complete experience. I don't know, Cabrini, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I have to let you know, and I am just filled with chills from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Your frankness and your honesty about your experiences are profound, Rebecca. And I really appreciate that because so much of what's happening in the earth around us, you know, and in our own individual lives, to be able to heal from these experiences that you've talked about, and I'm sure many people that are listening to the show right now can truly relate, whether that's been, you know, sexual abuse or satanic ritual or any type of emotional or mental abuse or even physical abuse, that sense of separation that happens, especially when you're a child, you know, when those people that you look up to and that you perceive as God do that harm to you. To overcome that is such an enormous power that it does take the power of, you know, the divinity that is within us to create that change. And so my hat goes off to you, and I bow to the blessing of you, because I know that it's so, so important for people to know that they're not alone. And that if they are in this type of suffering with themselves and that secretness that they, you know, that each of us walk through, regardless of our experience, that of, oh, I'm different, or, you know, and I can relate to very much to what you're saying, Rebecca, because I too have had very similar experiences. And that experience of where you're walking and you think either everybody lives like this, or you're thinking nobody lives like this. And so, you know, you think that somehow there's something different about you. And what I'm hearing from you in what you're sharing with us today is that there really is no difference, that we all of us kind of go through our own transition of awakening through various, you know, degrees from various experiences. And it sounds like, I mean, what an experience, Rebecca, to be able to hear the call within yourself that you know, that something wasn't right, and also that, you know, that consciousness that kind of stuffs it away and doesn't allow you to even remember it until a perfect time, which I think everybody kind of goes through that, and they get that experience of that awakening. And for you, it was during your schooling that it came into your consciousness that, uh-oh, there's something wrong here. Whereas prior to that, you had put it away and tucked it away, that it wasn't even observable for you. So I want to, like, first of all, I'm just thrilled that you are here and you're able to share this. And number two, and I think it's just wonderful that people are letting, you know, that you're letting them know that, yes, you can recover. And that, yes, that part that you're asking me about the spiritual aspect of each of us that has that ability, that is omnipresent, that is omnipotent, that is divine, that does transcend everything that's in this earth, that is within each and every one of us. Now, the way in which we connect with that, like you said, Rebecca, has to do a lot with how you proceed and listen to yourself. Wouldn't you say? Don't you say that you had to listen and respond to what was happening with you for you to actually get to a place where you can begin your own healing process?
Yes. And you nailed it. You said the two things that are so accurate. One is that my mission is to let people know you're not alone. And secondly, trust me, it was not easy to get to this place to talk with everyone tonight. I have friends that talked me through it this afternoon. I have healer friends that worked on me this week. There are layers and layers of mental programming that the cult instills so that you do not ever speak about it. And if you do, you fear for your life. And you know what? I'm speaking about it. So there. And you know what? I feel pretty darn calm right now. I was nervous earlier in the week and earlier in the day, but I know this is my life's path, and, you know, not every modality and not every healer is the right one for each person, so I'm here for those that resonate with me, and I know a lot of other healers as well that, you know, that I love to refer people to if I'm not the perfect fit or they have special skill sets, but I think the important thing is that we're all rising up together, that we're all worthy and we're all loved and we're all okay, basically, just the way we are. We're all okay now, just the way we are. Now, we want to make changes, of course, because there's things that cause us pain, all of us. But that's my message, and that healing and forgiveness is possible. And I'm always careful to tell people that, you know, forgiveness is a very personal choice, and it cannot be rushed, and it isn't, you know, I'm not going to say it's for everyone. Not everyone is at the place or has the resources to do it right now, but my hope is that they can find a way because it sets you free. It has nothing to do with that other person. Now, I will say that probably did create some massive blessings for my father, and it shifted some things for him on a spiritual level that only makes the world a better place. So
oh,
it's all
definitely.
Good.
Definitely.
In the end, I realized everybody just wants to be loved. Everybody. Even the people that look like the bad guys. So, I mean, it'd be so easy for people to say my father was this evil man. And from one perspective, there's no doubt. Yes. Yes, he did some very, very bad things. But he was also a person with a heart and a soul who hurt and was scared and was angry and had all these other things going on. So he made the decisions he made. Who knows at a soul level, you know, what that was about between he and I. I was given a vision early on in my healing, and it was this. I was suddenly seeing myself as a spirit floating up without a body, floating with this other group of souls. We're just hanging out together, and some of my dad, two men, my dad's, like from my dad's side of the family, because they were Native American, they came up to us and they said, this cycle of abuse in this family has gone on long enough, and it's a strictly voluntary mission, but we're asking for someone to go in and help break this cycle. And I can remember, just like a little kid, I was up there going, with my arm waving in the air, right, like my metaphorical arm, ooh, pick me, I can do it. And when I had that vision, I was, believe me, there was a string of expletive deleteds, and I was like, what the heck was I thinking? But then I went to visit my brother, and he tells me, I had told nobody this story because I didn't have a community then that was very spiritual and would understand it. I was sort of shell-shocked by this revelation. And he says, you know what, I had this vision, and then he about word for word described the exact same thing, two Native American ancestors, what they said, and then he said, and then I raised my hand and jumped up and down and said, ooh, pick me.
Wow.
Believe me, I got goosebumps, and I was like, oh, my God, I was there, too. I did the same thing. And he goes, yeah, what were we thinking?
Yeah, a lot of times, isn't it true, Rebecca, that people that have, you know, the experience of abuse that are the perpetuators, the one that created, that are the abuser, they also have had the experience of being abused as well. And it seems to be a generational bondage where it's passed from one generation to another because they just didn't have the opportunity to know that there was a different way, or they didn't even know that they were doing something wrong. And a lot of it has to do with ignorance, you know, of what is okay and what is normal, so to say, or what is safe. And that was one of my questions I was going to ask of you is, you know, was there that history with your father? And you've kind of said that yes, that was going on for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those of you that are listening right now, no matter what your background is, if you're not really experiencing the joy of life or the peace and harmony that you feel that is deserving to you, know that there is a way. There is a way to obtain the joy and the peace and the trueness of who you are. And, you know, you're such an example of that, Rebecca. And I hear that the spirit within you was, I mean, that's what I heard loud and clear, was guiding you through the mist, through the unknown, to get the help that you needed and that you responded to that. And I think that's a very, very important step in coming to terms with who you are.
Yes.
It's tremendous. It's tremendous.
I think it's very important. Oh, thank you. I think it's very important to ask for help, that without realizing it, I had legions of angels with me all the time. You know, at the beginning, I didn't really realize that. And you know, just ask for help. Ask for everything. I ask if I can't find my driver's license. Please help me find my, you know, whatever. Little things, big things, it doesn't matter, you know. Just keep asking, you know, keep asking and know that you are worthy to receive the love and also the guidance and the help and the support. And
that
kind
of
happens, I have,
too. Wouldn't you say, Rebecca, about the worthiness with individuals that are abused, that they feel, like I had heard you say earlier, that it was a self-esteem. You felt like your self-esteem was low. And that worthiness of receiving the help, am I worthy? I think that's a really important key here to someone really reaching out, really thinking that their life is worth more than they're experiencing. Can you validate that at all?
Completely, completely. I think that worthiness is, damaged sense of worthiness is an epidemic around the world. But, I remember in my early 20s walking around college campus, and I was very depressed in those days and at one point even anorexic. And, you know, I smiled and I did my classes and whatnot, but I held on and I could smile and be happy because I knew I had this little thing in my pocket that I held on to that made me happy, and it was called I Can Always Kill Myself. And I literally felt that if I loved people, I said this to myself, if you love people as much as you say you do, you would clearly kill yourself. Now, I didn't know that that was cult programming going on. It made perfect sense to me. I never shared that with anyone, but it made sense to me. I couldn't have told you why, but it just was, it was one of those things that was so true, I didn't even have to question why I believed it. It just was. And so you can imagine it's been a long journey to get from there to where I'm at, where I have a high degree of self-love and self-acceptance, and I still am working on it too.
Yeah, it's not like you really arrive anywhere, isn't that true? You know, exactly. A lot of people think, well, if I go and I do this therapy, then I'm going to be okay. It's really a daily experience living, and it really can, you know, more truthfully, it's more like a moment-to-moment experience. And, it, you know, the becoming of us and the awakening of who we are individually and collectively, I think, you know, it happens in the moments. It's not that we ever get somewhere.
I totally agree.
We don't ever actually graduate.
Yeah. I tell people, you know, I figure as long as, you know, you're still alive and breathing, there's probably something you could work on. Doesn't mean you have to. You know, you might reach a point where you go, hey, I'm pretty content with my life and myself like this. I don't think that's my personal makeup. I think I'll always be working on myself. And I learned a long time ago, hey, it's as many times as I thought I had arrived, okay, there, you know, I realize now that's not the case. You know, I'll be working on myself the rest of my life. But it's not like I have to. It's because I want to. I want to do more and be more, and that's just how I'm wired. Not everybody's wired that way, and that's okay. If people can find a measure of peace and happiness and that's where they want to hang out for a while, cool. If later on they want to decide, hey, you know, I feel rested up now, and I think maybe I'd like to go work on this issue or this thing's now coming up in my life, great, go for it. But I think it's important not to come from the stance of, like I did for so many years, oh, I'm screwed up, I'm a mess, you know. What I've learned in tuning in to the Creator to do my energy healing work is it comes through every single time. Hey, you know what? You're perfect just the way you are. God, the Creator, doesn't see that there's anything that needs to change. You're just loved and you're wonderful just the way you are. It's our human mind that judges us as not enough.
And a lot of those thoughts that you're talking about have been transferred, you know, onto an individual, and, you know, especially if, you know, you've had such experiences such as Rebecca, you know, those ideas and thoughts about who you are as a person, they're actually not your thoughts. They may have been handed to you and you took them on and they became yours. And that happens, that discovery, wouldn't you agree, Rebecca, happens when you begin to really reach out and ask somebody to help you, or you find a confidant that you can talk to and really just expose, you know, these hidden secrets to, that someone can listen to you, that you begin to understand that a lot of what you're experiencing truly wasn't you to begin with.
Exactly. What I learned from my master teacher in Theta Healing is that 80% of our limiting beliefs in our subconscious mind are in our DNA. They weren't even our experiences. They're our ancestors' experiences. And on average, it goes back about 7 generations. So these are people you don't even know personally. But their beliefs are in your DNA, and they're affecting your life. So when I work with people and I try to help, you know, our job together is to uncover what those limiting subconscious beliefs are that are tripping them up from having the life they really want. And sometimes people say, you know, I'll query something. I'll say, well, what about this? And like, oh, no, I don't believe that. I'm like, remember, 80% of your limiting beliefs aren't even yours. They're like the antithesis of what you believe consciously, but even the ones that are your own from your own childhood. So we get imprinted very deeply from like conception to about 6 or 8 years old. We're predominantly in a theta brainwave during those years, and so everything gets like imprinted. Like, I think of it as almost like those stone tablets that Moses had, you know, it's like etched in stone. But the nice thing is now with these healing modalities, we have the sandblaster that can, you know, smooth that out and rewrite it. But it's a lot of times it isn't our own, and I love working with people when they're not afraid to just look at what the belief is, even if it seems ridiculous because consciously they're not like that at all. Like the very powerful, loving healer I worked with, that when we dug, finally it came down to was, I think it was like, I hate people or something like that. And she and I just started laughing because that was ludicrous. You know, she loves people. She's an incredibly loving person. But she was willing to laugh about it and just have the Creator clear that belief. And so
You know, she, that's one example. She came to me to build her business so that she could, her spiritual business, healing business, so that she could quit her day job, which I'm happy to say she has been fantastically successful at doing that. And, you know, before we run out of time, too, I would love to do some actual energy healing for the group. I'm not sure exactly what specific beliefs will clear our download, but let me explain first a little about my process. I take us through a guided meditation that takes us down into the earth to gather grounded earth energy and then on up to the seventh plane where the creator of all that is resides. And then we begin doing the healing work from there. That takes us into a theta brainwave. And from there, the creator is able to actually rewrite that subconscious blueprint. And each clearing or each download is done by permission. Nobody's going to do anything to anyone that they don't want done. And so if I offer up a clearing or a download, you can think to yourself or say out loud, yes, and if you want to receive it.
Well, I think that's wonderful. Why don't you just go ahead? We have about 17 minutes left to the show. And so, you know, if you want to take some time and do that, for any of you that are listening right now, you know, again, this would be something that you can participate in or just sit back and, you know, listen or... You know, you can tune it out. It's not something that's forced upon you, like
exactly.
Rebecca said. So, again, yeah, I'm very open to that, Rebecca. And if you want to go ahead and take the lead on that, I'll definitely participate.
Okay, great. So just take a deep breath and close your eyes. And try to be in a comfortable position. And, of course, don't do this if you're driving a car or... What is it they say? Heavy machinery.
Right.
Don't do this if you're driving a bulldozer right now. But just close your eyes and take a breath and let it out. And as you let it out, feel yourself just drop down into your beautiful heart. And I can see that angels are gathered around each of you, offering their love and support, creating a space of healing and safety. And so if you want to invite your angels to come closer, you can go ahead and do so. And feel as our angels allow us to raise our vibration, continuing the process of quieting the mind, and allowing the ego to just step aside and allow the process to take place. And breathe in again through your heart one more time, feeling that healing energy going into your heart, filling your heart with just extreme love, unconditional love and light. And from here, let us take a journey down into the center of our Mother Earth. You breathe out, know that all tension and worry, all pain and anxiety are just being released into the earth. She loves to take everything that no longer serves us. And she does as she does in nature, the leaves that fall to the floor of the forest. She takes those dead leaves and creates flowers the next spring. So allow yourself to give over to her anything that no longer serves you, any anger, frustration, hopelessness, grief, sadness. Just breathe it out into the earth, and as it goes out, know that her love is filling that space where it was, and allow her to fill you with her strength, her wisdom, her grounded and steadfast energy. And as we rise back up, continue to feel her energy pouring into you through the soles of your feet, closely connected with the earth, with her energy flowing up your legs, and now spiraling up your spine in a rainbow of colors, just cleansing and balancing and opening each of your chakra centers. And just breathe, allowing that healing to take place. In the highest and best way for each person. And now moving out through the crown chakra in a beautiful ball of light, you can allow yourself to float upward as we move up together, moving past the sky, past the stars, past some white lights and some dark lights. Now see us traveling past some brilliant white lights, and moving through a jello-like substance. It contains all the laws of the universe. We keep moving up until we float up into this beautiful, pearly white, iridescent light. And there is a supreme peace and harmony here. Allow yourself to be enveloped in the gentlest but most profound love you've ever felt. As it wraps you up. Breathe in that love, drawing it to each and every cell of your body, letting that divine, unconditional love flush out each and every cell, calm your mind, soothe your spirit, and heal your heart. In gratitude for the connection of all of us with one another. Downloading with your permission, I know what unconditional love feels like, realizing that this will go into each and every aspect of your being, every cell, healing our ancestors and the generations yet to come. Allow yourself to receive that. Downloading, I am worthy of being unconditionally loved. I know what joy feels like. Downloading, if you choose. I know that it is possible for me to be healed. I know that I am worthy of complete healing. I know what it feels like to be completely loved. I know what it feels like to love completely. I know when it is safe for me to love completely. I know what it feels like to receive and accept a healing. I am worthy of God's love. And I know this from my Creator's perspective. I understand the Creator's definition of surrender. And my definition is one and the same as my Creator's. I know the difference between surrender and giving up. And I know this from God's perspective. I know what it feels like to be completely healthy. I know that I am worthy of being completely healthy. I know that my life has a purpose and a meaning. Okay, I know why the energy stopped. We're about at time, right?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay, so let me do an integration for everyone that I usually do at the end of each session. Beloved Creator of all that is, it is commanded that this entire session now be integrated into each of us with grace, ease, and joy, and continuing your healing and guiding work on each and every one of us listening now and to the recording, from now and through all eternity, through every cell of our bodies, on all four belief levels, in every area of our lives, for the highest and the best. We thank you, Creator. It is done, it is done, it is done. And so it is.
Wow, that was absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was so gorgeous. I just love the affirmations of the truth. And for those of you that are listening to the show today, there is by no error that you're here with us. There is an invisible force of love that guides each of us in our actions, in our words, in our direction, in what we do. And maybe you don't necessarily understand it all. But there is a reason why you're here today with us. And so I am so grateful to you right now, Rebecca, for opening up the flow of divine energy for each individual that's here. And I thank you personally for doing that. This acknowledgement of the truth that, number one, you are worthy. Number two, you are perfect. No, you know, number three, that wherever you are is perfect.
Yes.
You may think that you have a long way to go or that you have a lot of healing to take place before you can actually help someone. Your very essence of your being is just perfect enough.
Oh,
so,
trust me on that one. That's not true. And also
so
know
I
that a lot
thrilled.
Of...
Hey, I've got the chills here. Oh. And I have to tell you, while you were doing that, my whole room here was filled. When you say that there's a host of angels that are with every individual, I want to validate that for our listeners. That even you may not feel or know your clairvoyance yet or your ability to have the knowledge of God yet. You may have not uncovered that within yourself. But I want to confirm what Rebecca said, is that there is a host of individuals that are working with you on a level that is not apparent to your own physical eyes.
Yeah.
So, thank you for sharing.
That they were speaking to me and God was speaking to me, because some of those downloads were very much a surprise to me. So those of you that felt those and they were for you, trust that that was what was happening. Those were there for you. There was a reason why they were said, because I could feel that being so, that I was tuning in to the entire group, and then I was being told some of those to do. So
Except that that was divine help being brought specifically for you, because it was.
Yeah, folks, if you're just tuning in, we're listening to Rebecca Baines. She's a transformational facilitator, a theta healer, and she does awakening dynamics. You can reach her through her website at RebeccaBaines.net, and you can also contact her via Facebook by looking up her name, Rebecca Baines. And, you know, do you have any last words that you would like to convey to our listeners today, Rebecca?
Just how much I love you, and I'm here for you, and I invite, if someone wants to schedule a 10 or 15-minute conversation to see whether or not working with me seems like the right thing, a good fit, I'm open to that. I have package deals, and I can work it out if somebody wants to do the healing work. I'm here.
Yeah, there's a lot of people right now that are just coming into their own, Rebecca. They're just, you know, because of a lot of the turmoil that's in the outer worlds, you know, a lot of the principles that people have lived by are failing them. You know, their jobs aren't really supporting them. Perhaps their families aren't supporting them. Whatever systems that have been working for them up until this point aren't really working anymore. And so a lot of, you know, of those exterior security blankets that we all kind of have are falling away. And we're hearing from the chat room that there are people that are feeling a lot of stress. So do you have any messages for them, particularly those that are feeling the stress and those that feel like they're actually under stress?
Okay, let me check in and see. Okay, so one of the hardest things I have found is when you're under stress is to get into that quiet place within yourself, to lift yourself up into that realm where you have that spiritual understanding that everything really is going to be okay. It may not look like it, and it may not feel like it. And it doesn't mean that what you're going through isn't incredibly painful and hard and scary, but you've been through a lot before, right? And there's more support than you realize, and it is hard to stop and ask and feel and hear that guidance when you're stressed out. So I was just told to, through my divine guidance, it sort of drops into the top of my head is how I can tell it's coming through from the higher realms, that I would like to offer a package deal to everyone that hears this recording or is here live. My normal rate is $100 an hour, and I would like to offer 3 hours for $150. And please know that if even that doesn't work for you, contact me. We'll talk. And I want to make this healing available. So that's what I was told to say.
Well, thank you.
It does take usually more than one session, and 3 sessions should give you a good boost and give you a feel for if this, you know, is a modality that really resonates for you.
Okay. Well, you heard that, folks. Our show is just about to end. We have about 25 seconds left. Thank you, Rebecca, for being here with us today. Please visit our website at alltruenatural.com. Contact Rebecca Baines. Don't let money be the thing that stops you from getting the help. Let people know where you're at. And I'm sure that the Spirit will guide you directly to the person that can assist you. Much love, God bless, and God bless the world. Thank you, everyone. Okay, so the show just did end, and if you are still with us, and we are being recorded, the show continues to be recorded regardless of us being offline, and you can listen to our archives and listen direct to the show in whole. Rebecca, it's been our pleasure. This was a phenomenal show today, and we're very blessed to have you in the earth with us, facilitating the healing with others, you know, that really need to, we're getting, people are saying great show, and that's such a blessing for us.
Oh.
So, and that's because of you today, Rebecca.
You created the space. You created the opportunity. I am so overflowing with gratitude. I can't even stay on the ground.
Well, we did have, we had a lot of callers that were online, but nobody was raising their hand today. There was a great deal of listening, and our chat room was filled as well. So
yes.
I want to let you know, wherever you are on planet Earth, what Rebecca shared with us today, is available to you, that the voice within you that is guiding you towards the light, that is guiding you towards the joy, that is guiding you towards the love, is real. And I think Rebecca has conveyed that today, that regardless of what she's gone through personally, that inner spark that has said there has to be something more than this is what's brought her to her healing. And I think that's beautiful, Rebecca. Thank you so much for being who you are.
Thank you. And listening.
You can go ahead if you wanted to share a message to humanity, and we will break from the show. I will definitely give you a call after we're done here. Do you have any last words that you would like to say to our listeners?
Hope, hope, hope. Just don't let go of that hope. If you can hold on to one little shred of hope, you can make it. Just breathe through one more night, one more moment. There were nights that I got through the night by telling myself that, okay, it's fine, I'll kill myself tomorrow, but I'm too tired tonight. And by the time the next morning came, I could handle it. You just have to do what you have to do to get through the night, to get through that moment, whatever it is. But I swear, if I can get through what I have been through, you can do it. And that's why God put me here to say these words, is because of that, because of you.
Yeah, we have a very similar saying with all the tragedy that's in the world around us, and there's so much fear porn that is out there for the future. You know,
mm-hmm.
We heard recently, these events that are going to be taking place, they're saying 9/27 or, May 28th, all these, difficult, horrible situations that are being predicted in the airwaves. And, we say to ourselves, well, what's the worst that can happen? We all die. And we laugh about it because that is the worst that can happen. That we're reborn again, or that we transcend into a higher realm. But until that point, keep your feet on the ground and, keep marching forward, and don't let anything stop you from obtaining the truth of who you are. No matter who it is, no matter what situation it is, no matter what you're going through in your life, no matter what's coming up from your history, just march right through it. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and it is not a train.
And know that you're not alone, and don't be afraid to ask for help, both from the divine realm and from the realm around you, three-dimensional world.
Yeah. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, love. Thank you, Kapani.
God bless everyone, and thank you for being with us here today. We will be back on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we are hosting Shane Lacey from Australia. And he brings forth his information as well about energy work and his Pleiadian exchanges and a lot of his awareness about what's happening in the world today. So thank you again, and we'd love to have you on again, Rebecca, in the future.
I would love to. Thank you.
Okay, good enough. All right, folks, that's it for tonight. We'll see you back here on Sunday morning. Have a great day, and God bless. Thank you, Rebecca. Good night.
Good night.